This morning's reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, starting it's chapter 1, starting at verse 12 through to the end. The heading in my Bible is Paul's Chains Advance the Gospel. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Well, good morning. Hopefully you'll see a PowerPoint coming up. This morning, we're continuing our series looking at Philippians, and entitled this morning's one for the study notes is Living for Christ. But actually, I've what's called it, What's Your Motivation? What's your motivation? Well, I just chose that because I thought, it's quite an interesting carrot stick type thing. I don't know what your motivation is. I know Joe and Ian and Lorraine and Brian, their motivation was to send me a postcard because I'd asked them to at the beginning of the summer. And great, they did. They sent me one. And unfortunately, I got organised and I put it out for ready for it and somebody cleaned up. And so I apologise that I'm not able to show the postcard that Ian and Joe had sent. It's of a lovely area of the country. Norfolk, yes. And that even said in the card that it was, you know, that I'd met then. So they were confirming my choice of part of the country. But so thank you for sending that postcard. I'm not aware really that many more people are going to be going away. So, but I know they had a lovely time. So if you are thinking of somewhere to go next year, Norfolk is very nice. Beaches are lovely, especially if you've got a dog and you want to walk it. But anyway, motivation. What's your motivation? Now, for me, when we get up in the morning, what motivates me in the morning, potentially, a cooked breakfast might be one of those options that would motivate me to get up. And or maybe a quality cup of tea or coffee, I don't know. Maybe, I know sometimes for me, it's my wife. My wife will motivate me and says, right, come on, we've got to get on and let's get on. Our motivation to get up yesterday early was because we had to take our daughter to Leicester for a university visit. So, which was great, but it meant that we were up, because we were planning to leave at 7:45, but we were up at 6:00, just before, okay, 5:30. I'm talking about me, dear, not you. My motivation. So I was up at about 6, because then we were going to walk our dog ready to then leave her so we could go off. So whatever motivates me, sometimes it's because of commitment. We have a Thursday morning prayer meeting. Now, what motivates me to come to that is partly commitment, because I've committed to say, I'm going to make it, I'm going to be there. So every Thursday morning, again, 6:00, I get up there. And actually, before COVID, we were doing it on a Wednesday. And even when it snowed and it was like really thick, I thought, I need to go. One, because I've committed to go, but also because I wasn't sure if anybody else would try to make it. So I thought, I need to be there. So what motivates me to get up in the morning could be cook breakfast, which is a lovely way to get up. Maybe my wife, or maybe the fact that actually it's a commitment. I've committed to do something. And maybe that's something that you have considered. Back in the 90s, there was a gentleman called Mr. Motivator. He was on GMTV, and he used to get people exercising. He was trying to motivate you into fitness. And he had a role of therefore motivating people to get into there. I've also got other pictures there you can see. You've got the stars in America, where it's the famous people stars. Now, for some people, what motivates them is fame, is popularity, is success. For others, it's money, finance. For others, I put there, it's global change. It's the fact that there is effects going on our planet. So what's motivating them is the planet, the fact that they're concerned. And we've seen that, don't we? We've seen that in the papers, in the news over the last few weeks. You've got people protesting, blocking junctions on the M25 because they are concerned about the environment. They're concerned about the global impact that we are having. You've got people striving to get into space, spending money. Now, rightly or wrongly, that's what they're doing. Their motivation is to say, actually, I want to get beyond this planet. I want to get into space. So that's their motivation and why they are doing what they're doing. And there's obviously, perhaps some of us are aware of that thing about your motivation. It's either the carrot or the stick. You either try and encourage people to say, come on, come on, come on, or you beat them to it. And maybe some of you have had that experience, especially those of you who are an older generation who may have had that experience in school, when sometimes you were motivated to get on with the work using the cane. Personally, I've never experienced that because I'm younger than some people. But some of you may have experienced that. And especially those in teaching will go, actually, we talk about this, best way to motivate a student. What's the best way? So this morning, we're talking about motivation. What motivates you? You see, people are motivated, aren't they? Fitness. Getting the right body shape. Perhaps even in your work, or maybe in regard to relationship, you are motivated to say, I want a successful this or a successful this, so I'm motivated to get it sorted. But in our reading today, Paul reveals an alternative. He shares what is his motivation and goes on to urge those he's writing to in the early church, and in fact, those who perhaps, like us, have read it or have heard it. Last week, we heard about Philippi and the early church Paul was writing this letter to. It's a letter that is specifically written to a fledgling church, but its content has the potential to ignite the church and offer influence to those around that are affected. As we take time now and look through our passage today, I want us to consider what Paul's motivation is. And his motivation is living for Christ. And that is that whatever happens, it needs to glorify God. That's his motivation. In all that he does, he's seeking to glorify God. So if you note nothing else from today, if you seek to live something out from this sermon or from this time in church today, I would pray and hope it would be three words: to glorify God. When you think about your motivation, you would consider to glorify God. So, we've got our reading from Philippians here, verses 12 to 19. It says this: Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and they're all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some people preach Christ out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. But others preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers, God's provision of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Wow. To glorify God. Paul's saying, isn't he? Whether I'm in chains or whether I die, I want to glorify God. What an attitude to have. What a motivation to have in your life. The fact that he's living in this, he's in chains, he's under guard, and yet he still acknowledges and says, I'm here to glorify God. And, you know, in some ways, it's the best way for me to die, because then I'll be with him. But the loss is, I've lost my opportunity to talk to you. The fact that he was meeting guards, he was sharing Jesus with these people that were keeping him under watch. What an amazing man Paul was. Wasn't he? He is an inspiration. He is somebody that we should be thinking, like, have a poster up on our bedroom wall of Apostle Paul. I'm thinking every morning you wake up, you're looking and think, that's what I want to be. I want to glorify God. That's what my motivation should be. So when I wake up, it's not a breakfast. It's not because my wife is telling me to. It's not because of I have to do it. But because I'm thinking, yeah, I want to glorify God today. Because how many of us wake up in the morning and think, oh dear. Another morning, sort of roll out of bed slowly. I know that maybe some of you, ba-ching, I'm ready. But the majority is like, really? Morning already? And especially now it's dark, isn't it? Now it's getting darker mornings, it does make it worse. But to have that, oh, I'm ready. I'm glorifying God today. That's my motive to be alive. That's Paul's motive. You know, the fact that he was even saying, do you know what? Yes, there are people preaching. And maybe their motives aren't the greatest. Maybe they're trying to tear me down. But it's glorifying God. Do you know what? You know, he could have said, that's not on. Couldn't he? There could be his followers saying, that's not appropriate. You shouldn't be doing that. Paul, tell him off. Tell him off. But he says, no. Whatever their motives, rightly or wrongly, they're sharing Jesus. And maybe that is uncomfortable for us to understand. Wow. You know, we see it, don't we? In the Gospels, it's sort of, what are they doing, Jesus? Look, they're talking about you. They're in your name. They're doing stuff. But they're not part of our little group. Tell them off. Do you know what? God's glory is revealed in many ways. And sometimes it's not with his people. So something for us to consider and to take on board what Paul says there. He then goes on. Paul's joy, it's Paul's life for Christ. And it's 1:20-26. It says this. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will be fruitful labor. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to be part of Christ, which is far better. But it is more necessary for me to remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for progress and joy in faith. So that through my being with you, again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. What an example of giving oneself to God. What an example. I've talked about it. I've sort of mentioned it. Said, look, how amazing that he was willing to do that. To give himself. To deny himself in order to promote God, to promote Jesus. Are there times when we deny ourselves for God, or do we think, that's okay, I'll do that, and then I'll make time for God later? I don't know. But if I'm honest, I think, yeah, we do. Because actually, it's not easy being a follower of Christ. Okay, it is not easy being a follower of Christ. Because we're seeking to try and live opposite to what the world wants to do. But also we're trying to, in our own humanity, think, I need to be living as God wants me to live. So, I'm failing again and again and again. We put that on ourselves. When actually all God says is, do you know what? Just, I love you. And even when we fail, he still loves us. Do you know that? He does. But Paul's life was seeking to, through what Paul was doing, he was seeking to build the church and say, look, here, look at me. Look what I'm doing. My motive is to glorify God. Because we then come at 27 to 30. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as for one. for the faith of the gospel through being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. You see, the Bible is instructions for living as citizens of heaven. It's all about remembering what happens. Remembering that whatever happens, we need to glorify God. In the ups and the downs. And we've had plenty of downs recently. And that's why we've asked the church to come and pray for the leadership this evening, because we recognize that in the leadership, there are ups and downs. And actually, the problem is when you become a leader, there is an expectation on you. And actually, the devil says, I'm going to pop at you, because if I can impact you, I can impact not only you, but 30 people. I'm not trying to big up the leadership, but that's a reality. We see that we have seen that in global churches where people, ministers and leaders have fallen because of something. And it's not just fallen, taken them out. It's taken out in the entirety of a church because they just don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. So we would ask and cry out to the church to come and pray with us, for us this evening. And if you speak to people who aren't here this morning, encourage, say, look, you need to come. It's important. Spiritual warfare is something that happens. And we want to support our leadership. We want to support this church. If this church wants to thrive, then we need to be praying for each other. And as a leadership, we recognize that we need prayer, but also they're like the worship group, those who lead life groups, those who lead the youth and children's work. In essence, we all lead because each one of you leads a Christian life. But we are saying, we are communicating, saying, actually, but as spiritual leaders in this church, we need your prayers. We need you to reach out and to invite heaven to come. Because, as he said, it's not easy. And I bet there are days when Paul was thinking, really? More beating? Really? Shipwrecked again? Really? Well, God said, yeah, really. And that's the same for us. There are times when you will be thinking, really? Another one? Another fist to the face? Yeah. But then we hope in the locker we have got, but God's still there. God is still there. And that's what he was saying. He knew that there were good times that carried him through these hard times. He knew because what he was doing, he said, but I'm living like this because I know it's an encouragement to the church. It's an encouragement to the people. It's giving them an inspiration. Paul's motivation was to glorify God. Okay, this message is very simple. Hopefully, you should be able to remember this for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks later. And I could say, on Sunday, the whatevers, what did I preach on? And I hope you could go to glorify God. Those three words, that's all you need to remember. Say them, please. Say them. Shout them. Okay, that is your motivation. That needs to be your motivation. Okay. That's what their motivation out there is at the moment, doing the bridge. Their motivation is to glorify God by speaking to people, being an example, getting to build a relationship. That's why we have toddling. Because we want to glorify God. And that's why we have the youth. That's why we have our life groups. That's why we encourage people to recognize that when you, that's why Paul's getting up and saying, mission evangelism, yeah, we need to be this. We're doing this. On Thursday, he videoed in a bit. And he was talking about, he's looking to have people share their testimony. And a testimony is where you just say, where, why, and or what your life was before, you, the fact that you've met Jesus and what your life is now. That's what a testimony is. And it's basically done in a way of you, because nobody can test that. Nobody can say that's wrong because it's happened to you. You become a Christian is personal, but you can share that because for some people that will resonate. And that's why we're all different, because some of us will go, yeah, I had a massive revelation. And others go, well, actually, I just grew up. But it's about being able to do that. So Paul's encouraging us to do that, to glorify God in a 2-minute testimony, which is quite hard to try and shrink it down to 2 minutes. It's like last week, Dave stood up and said about the prayer and to praise, even though there wasn't an answer. He was praising. He's glorifying God. So what? I believe today that the challenge for us is actually to take time to think about our lives. Really be honest with ourselves. And to think about what really motivates us. What are our motivations? And in doing this, perhaps we need to then come to God and acknowledge that he may not always be the motivation. And in doing so, take time to confess and ask God to help you realign your motives. Because we have things that pressure us: work, family, finances, health. If we're seeking to offer a different attitude, as I said, whether that be work-related issues, a positive influence on our families and the people we love, we can do that through recognizing that we need to have the motives in our lives of to glorify God. And in those times when frustrations arise, when arguments happen within marriage, when you feel unfairly treated, take a moment and think, my reason, my motivation to live is to glorify God. So in that, are the words that I'm saying, are my actions doing that? Perhaps you yourself can even fill the gap with someone and speak to them and share with them. So in considering, what is your motivation? What is your motivation? Our motivation should be rooted in God. Whether we feel sidelined, whether we feel bombarded, whether we feel completely under pressure, weighed down, our motivation for life, as Paul's was, it needs to be rooted in God and to say, I am here to glorify God. That is, under Christ, all things are fulfilled. So this week, following on from last and having a burden for those around us, within and outside of the church, let's be empowered to be mindful of what our motivations are. And our life motivation should be rooted in glorifying God. Just take a moment and be still. Father God, we recognize that we're called to be people living for Christ. But Father, that if we're going to live for Christ, we need to have that right motivation. And Lord, I've spoken on this, and feel that it is, that our motivation should be to glorify you. Lord, I pray for the people in this space, those people that were here online. Lord, that you would take the words that are of you and penetrate people's hearts, and those that are not would just fade away. Because, Lord, we want everything. I want this to glorify you. So, Father, strengthen us now as we seek to glorify you by sharing in a meal together. In your mighty name, amen.